So, Father, again, we're just so grateful that we can gather together like this morning and sit around your word, Father. And I ask that, Lord, as your word goes out this morning, that it does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That the name of Jesus is exalted in this place. And that all the praise and the honor and the glory go to you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, folks, today I want to share a message. I really believe it's an important message for each and every single one of us here today. It really is. And, as I was preparing it, there was just too much, I think, in terms of the title. I'll give you the title now. But there was just too much to be able to consolidate it into just one message here this morning. So this is basically part one now of a two-part series we'll be carrying on next week. And the title of today's message is Causes and the Solutions to Discouragement. Causes of discouragement and the solutions to discouragement. And let me ask you a question. How many of us have experienced times of discouragement, let's say, over the last 2 months? Huh? I would say most of us. Is that right? We've had opportunities to be discouraged over the last 2 months. And some of us even more, more recent than that. And folks, discouragement, we need to know, is one of the tools that the devil will use the best he can to defeat you. He wants to defeat you. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and he will do anything to defeat you. And one of his tools, one of his, kind of arrows in his little quiver there, is this thing of discouragement. He does not want you to be encouraged in any form or in any way at all. And if you are encouraged, if you are a person that's encouraged, or if you are a person that is full of courage, let me tell you right now, you are a serious threat to the devil and to his evil kingdom. And you need to know that. We need to know that. And really, as believers, we need to start to rise up and operate and operate in the authority that we've been given as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning's message that I'm going to be sharing, it comes out of a certain portion of Scripture. We know the story of Nehemiah. And I want to just focus on Nehemiah, because what I'm sharing here today, this is what Nehemiah experienced. This is what the workers that were rebuilding the wall experienced. Now, so that there's a lot that we can actually learn from this book of Nehemiah when it comes to discouragement and then how to deal with it. Now, Nehemiah, who was he? He was a Jewish leader who supervised the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem. And this happened in the mid-5th century BC, before Christ. And these guys went on to build this wall in 52 days, rebuilding of the wall. Now, it's interesting, as we go through these verses, you'll see how discouraged they were and some of the things that they were verbalizing, that they were actually saying, that this is impossible, this task is impossible, this thing can't be done. It says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "And Judah said, the strength of the workmen is giving way." So these guys that were actually rebuilding the wall, they were being intimidated. They were being threatened. They were being, even their own people were coming against them. And we'll unpack all of it. But folks, they were busy building this wall, and they were really, really discouraged. Very discouraged. It says, "The strength of the workmen is giving way, and there is much waste material. It is impossible for us to put up the wall." Now, there is a confession right there where the workers were busy building the wall, and what they said, they were obviously speaking to each other, and what, I don't know who else I was speaking to, but they said, "It is impossible for us to put up this wall." In other words, there is no ways that this can be done. There's no ways that we can be victorious in all of this. We are going down. We are actually going down. We can't win this thing. We're not going to be able to do it. This is what was coming out of their mouths. Now, I was just thinking, can you imagine being a leader of a group of people that are saying that? How do you encourage them? So their job was now to build this wall, but there was serious opposition to this. And of course, the workmen had no more strength to continue. That's it. We're done. Just no more strength. So they started saying, verbalizing. And we know that there's power in words. Is that right? They started verbalizing and saying that the task was impossible. This task of rebuilding the wall, it cannot be done. And they were totally discouraged. Totally discouraged. Folks, there's a price to pay if we yield or we give in to discouragement. We need to be aware of this thing. You know, it's interesting. Do you remember Moses? Remember he sent the 12 spies into the promised land. He sent the spies in, and they came back, and you had two of them. It was Joshua and Caleb. They came back with a positive report. The other 10 were just whinging and moaning, and basically what happened is that they gave such a negative report that the people were totally discouraged. They were totally discouraged. And basically what was happening right there is that they were giving a report back that was totally against the will of God, because God said, this is for you. This is your place. This is where you're going. Is that right? So they gave this negative report that contradicted the will of God. And this led to the whole nation spending 40 years in the wilderness instead of just going into the promised land. This is why they spent 40 years in the wilderness. So folks, we must overcome discouragement and never allow discouragement to overcome us. And it's not easy. We need to know how to do this. Okay? So there may be a fight. There might be a battle. There might be a war, but we need to make sure that we win the fight, that we win the battle, and that we win the war when it comes to this thing. But I have really good news for us. And the good news is this, that you and I are not alone when it comes to this. When you are experiencing, discouragement of any form, you are not alone. Because the word is very clear. If he is for you, then who can be against you? And another scripture says that God will never leave you or forsake you. Never leave you or forsake you. So when we are at a place, when we are feeling down, when we are feeling discouraged, that is the time that we need to start to really place our trust in the Lord. And what it is, it's really making sure that we change where we're looking. Instead of looking at the problem, because am I right, when we are discouraged, isn't it right that the problem is all we think about? So it is learning how to no longer focus on the problem, but to be able to focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is the solution to the problem. And that, of course, is a challenge for all of us. So, folks, all of us will experience being discouraged from one time or another. Every single one of us. And so it's not so much about the discouragement, because we're all going to experience it. It is all about how we deal with the discouragement. How do we deal with it? And what does the Word of God say? And what can we learn from Nehemiah? So we know that Nehemiah, his task was to rebuild this wall. And Nehemiah, of course, he was a great leader of people, and he was a great motivator of people as well. So let's now have a look and to see how he actually dealt with the discouragement of the people that were building this wall. So I'm picking it up now in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now when Sanballat heard that they were building a wall." Now, Sanballat, man, this is like the devil coming against you. Sanballat was an official of the Persian Empire, and he had a lot of clout, this guy, right? It says, now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. So he was, you can just imagine this guy, the anger, he was enraged, the Bible said. And he jeered at the Jews. And then he said, in the presence of his brothers and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish? And he says, and burnt ones at that. So here is one of the leaders, somebody that's got a lot of clout, that is very, very opposed to what was actually going on. But the thing is, he wasn't by himself. He had his little sidekick there, this guy by the name of Tobiah. Now, Tobiah, it's very interesting, the influence that he had, you can read it in this portion of Scripture, but he was able to make sure that some of the rooms or the, you know, in the temple were used as his personal storage facility. This guy. The temple of God was now used for Tobiah's, you know, for some of his storage. So it says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, he said with Sanballat, he said, yes, what are they building? He says, if a fox goes up on it, it will break down their stone wall. Little fox crawls along it, he says, man, this wall is going to come tumbling down. The next verse, verse 4, we see now the cry of the people. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads, the way they are taunting us. Turn, Lord, take these taunts and turn it back on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in the land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight. Lord, these people, look what they're doing to us. Let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. Verse 6. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height. So you can imagine what was going on. So there were obviously breaches, there were holes in the wall. It was all this rubble, and all these people were just kind of building and, you know, patching up the gaps in the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height. So they filled in all the gaps, and they built the wall to half the height that it should be. Why? It says, for the people had a mind to work. So they, when they started out, they really wanted to get this thing up and going. I mean, they were enthusiastic. But you know, when there's huge opposition to enthusiasm, it can drain. Is that true? Can drain. Verse 7. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites, now listen how many people are involved in this, and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. All these people, groups of people, now, and they all plotted together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. Isn't that one of the ploys of the enemy when we are discouraged? You're discouraged and now he brings confusion. And this is what their plan was, to now bring confusion. So now at verse 9, we can see what Nehemiah, as I said, he was a great leader, and let's see what he did. It says, and we prayed to our God. Isn't that a good place to start? We prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. Sorry, is this too loud out there? Right, okay. And set a guard, protection against them day and night. In Judah it was said, and the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. Again, these people building this wall, they were so discouraged. And they said, there is too much rubble. Imagine building a wall and it's just all rubble and it's just bits of, you know, burnt out rocks and I don't know what was there. There's too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. So they were ready now. This enthusiasm is starting to, you know, be deflated a little bit. And they were saying, by ourselves, we're not going to be able to do this. We're not going to be able to do this. We can't do it. We can't succeed. It's impossible. Now, verse 11. And our enemy said, so not only have they got all this opposition, but they've got all these enemies around them. And this is what the enemy said, to make them more discouraged. Folks, we have to be careful who we listen to, eh? This is what the enemy said while they were building the wall. They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. So they were so adamant that they were getting this out. So all the enemies were speaking this out and saying, what we're going to do, we're going to get in behind that wall and we're going to take you out. We're going to kill you. And when we kill you, we will make sure that this restoration of the wall of Jerusalem is not going to happen. Verse 12. At that time, now they've got another problem. At that time, the Jews, now these are the Jews who are their relatives, right? Now it's your relatives. You know, folks, sometimes when we are discouraged, you can have your discouragement compounded by people in your own home. Is that true? You know, and this is what happened here. It says, and at that time, the Jews who were their relatives, who lived near them, came from all directions. So these Jewish people who were their relatives coming to them and said to them, these guys that were building the wall, not once, not twice, not three times. How many times? Ten times. You must return to us. You must return to us. Because they had also heard what these people were going to do, that they were going to get in there and they were going to take them out and they were going to kill them. All right? So what I'm saying is sometimes, again, we must be careful who we are listening to, because it can be, you know, from people that are very close to us that start to discourage us as well. So let's first now have a look at some of the common causes that we see here. Some of the common causes of discouragement. The first common cause that we see here is fatigue. How many of you have noticed when you're tired, really tired, it's so much easier to become discouraged? Huh? That's true. Verse 10 says, the strength of the workmen, their strength, is giving way. So there are times in your situation and my situation when we just simply get tired, folks. We just get so tired. And just like these laborers, how they got tired that were actually working here with Nehemiah. People get tired. People get worn out. And when we find ourselves in that place, we can be discouraged. There's no question about that. But if we find ourselves, now this is a bit of encouragement, but if we find ourselves that we are just tired and worn out, it can be that, you know, we don't have to do too much. It can be that we, well, first of all, what we should be doing is not burning the candle on both ends. That's a nice little phrase, isn't it? You ever think about it, burning the candle on both ends? But we shouldn't be burning the candle on both ends. So, folks, if you and I are discouraged, it may mean that we don't have to change too much. If this is the case, you know, just because we're fatigued, it could mean that we need to just take ourselves out and go and have a holiday somewhere. Go and take a few days out. And when you go, make sure that you don't take your cell phone and that you don't connect to the internet and that you're not scrolling and you're not getting filled up with other stuff that is going to discourage you. Right? So it might mean just to get out of town and go and chill for a few days. Or it might mean, you know, that you just need to go to bed earlier. I'm just saying. Just go to bed earlier and then, you know, you won't be so fatigued. Right? So that is the fatigue thing that can bring on discouragement. The next thing that we see here in this portion of Scripture that can cause discouragement is frustration. How many of you have found when you're really frustrated, you know, you can get discouraged? Huh? It's just, you just can't get this thing together. And it says in verse 10, there is too much rubble. Too much rubble. So the rubble and the rubbish had all piled up, and it's getting in the way of these men going out and accomplishing that thing that they need to accomplish. It's stopping them from being able to go out and complete building this wall. Now, question to us, is there a lot of rubble in your life? Is there rubble in your life that is piling up and stopping you from doing things? And sometimes, you know what the rubble can be? Is those things that we just don't feel like doing. Huh? The ceiling's leaking. Oh, okay, I'll sort that out sometime. But then you don't. And then, okay, you know what? It's not just the seat, but I see the gutters falling off as well. Right? Folks, these things start to, they become rubble in our lives. We need to make sure that where there is rubble, we address the rubble. Huh? Stop doing things. Because if we don't address the rubble in our own lives, it's going to frustrate us if we don't get rid of it. So that is something we need to do. So if you don't clean it up, it's going to stop you. It's going to stop me from progressing, okay, and doing those things that the Lord has actually called us to do. So let's make sure that we address the rubble, because it's going to force us to lose our focus. Again, let me ask the question, what's the rubble in your life? I see some people saying, should I tell them? No, we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear your rubble. But what is the rubble in your life? Let me tell you what the rubble in our lives is. It's anything that gets you to waste your time, anything that gets you to waste your energy, anything that stops you or prevents you from going out there and accomplishing what God has called you to accomplish. That is a rubble in your life. That is a rubble. And we have to be mindful of the rubble, and we need to deal with the rubble. Because the rubble, if you don't deal with it, how many of you know that if you mow your lawn, you've got a whole lot of, you've got little black bags of, you do it again next week. How many of you have noticed that if you don't do something with it, it's not going to be long and you'll have 52 bags of grass? And it's rubble. It's going to irritate you. That thing is always there, as my wife looks at me. No, we get rid of the rubble. When? Who said that? Have you been up my driveway recently? Yeah. What happens in our place, you know, you start seeing lots of these bags, and then on Tuesday, a lot of them are taken away. But the challenge is to make sure that you're getting rid of them quicker than you're actually piling them on. Is that right? What's the rubble in your life? Make sure that we deal with it. Anything that wastes your time or anything that is sapping your energy and is going to stop you from doing those things that the Lord has called you to do. Another cause of discouragement that we see here is failure or perceived failure. It can be perceived failure. It says in verse 10, by ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And of course, they were saying that, but it's not true. Is that right? Because they did rebuild the wall. But they felt that they probably looked around and they said, well, these guys said that, and they're going to jump over and they are going to send lots of people in there that are coming to kill us. So we better build this wall quickly. And if we don't build this wall quickly, we're going to be in trouble because they're going to take us out. And so, firstly, the important thing is now not to give up. Is that right? Not to give up. We need to make sure that we continue. But folks, often it is a perceived failure. For example, it might be seen that, well, we're not going to be able to do it in time. Is that right? Perceived failure. Well, they're going to get in there, they're going to take us out, we better do it quicker, whatever it might be. So if you don't reach your goal on time, it does not mean that you have failed. It really doesn't. We need to take a step back and really just go out there and set new goals, new timelines to make sure that we can get it done. Is that right? Not throw in the towel and say, well, that's us. So in other words, we don't give up. We actually go out there and refocus on God's intentions and start to do those things that He has actually called us to do. We need to do it. The next one. Now, this is a big one. Tell the person next to you, Dave said this is a big one. Causes of discouragement. Fear and intimidation. Let me say it again. Fear and intimidation. Verse 11 says, our enemy said, before they know what is happening or see a thing, we will be right in the middle of them. We will kill them and bring the work to an end. That can, when somebody says that they're going to kill you, you might have a little twinge of fear. Is that true? But folks, again, this is how the enemy works. Fear and intimidation. Fear and intimidation, I need to say, and you can see it in the Word of God time and time again, it is the oldest trick of the devil. Oldest trick of the devil to lay fear and intimidation upon you. And we need to know that it is the oldest trick, you know, in the book. It says, I need you to say this, that when we experience fear and intimidation, you know that you can't focus on what you should be focusing on. Is that true? So it's a difficult thing because, you know, we need to be, whatever we do, in focusing on that. But when we are experiencing fear and intimidation, that kind of consumes us. And we don't focus on whatever we should be focusing on. And then verse 12 says, and the Jews who were living near, so it is not only those guys that said that they're going to come in and kill you. That can put fear into people. But it says the Jews, their relatives, who were living near our enemies, warned us 10 times that our enemies would attack us from every direction. That was a warning. 10 times, you're going to be taken out. You're going to be taken out. Now it's even your relatives, your friends. Hey, you know, you're going to be taken out. So we need to be careful, folks, to what we allow ourselves to hear. Amen? Is that true? In actual fact, if you carry on in Nehemiah 4, it suggests that people that are most affected by fear are those who hang around negative people. You hang around negative people. Those people, you know, they're lovely people, but all they will do is tell you all day how bad things are and how the country's falling apart and how this is going to happen and wah, goes on and on and on. And then you go and visit them 2 days later and you hear the same story. And eventually you start to kind of receive it because you're continually hearing it and you start to believe the lie. We need to make sure we put things in place. If you are full of fear, if you really are, you and I, all of us, we need to just check out who we are spending time with. Who are we spending a lot of time with? Because that might be the problem. And really, folks, if we are going to control our negative thoughts, we need to make sure that we move away from negative people. And it might not be people. It might be what you want to watch or flip through on your phone or all those reels. You know, you want to know more about it, and yet it is doing something on the inside of us. Okay, it's discouraging us. And folks, if we, this thing of fear will destroy your life, it will destroy my life if we let it. But the good news is we see in the Word of God that fear is a spirit. Is that true? Does the Bible talk about the spirit of fear? And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have authority over the spirit of fear. So whenever you are experiencing fear, either pray yourself, take authority over that thing, or go to a close friend of yours who's a believer that takes authority over that spirit of fear, that that thing doesn't hound you. We can't walk and live with this fear. So we need to make sure that we choose to resist this thing of discouragement as well. So we need to ask God to help us. One of the big things, really, to take our eyes off the problem, what's causing the discouragement, and assist us to be able to focus on Him. Is that right? That is so important. Help us to do that. I think I'm going to stop there. So those, what we've seen here, are really the causes, you know, according to what we've read here, the causes of discouragement. So what I want to do next week is then look at the solutions to discouragement. What does the Word of God actually say about solutions to discouragement? Folks, we need to make sure that we are not discouraged. All right? Get that picture. I mean, I just think of Nehemiah, especially when people are intimidated and they're scared and you're trying to lead these people, you know, into being victorious and building this thing, and they're just getting lower and lower because they are just so discouraged. Amen. All right, so next week we'll have a look at what the Word says about solutions to discouragement. So, Father,